How did you sort of deal with some other things about the logistics of having an online business?
I think that the first thing that I did really was to join the networking group. And I thought, okay, here's where I can build my confidence. I can learn to speak in front of a group confidently. And I can learn a ton about all different aspects of business from these people. And then I also hired myself a coach. The coach that I had was a life coach, so she helped me both on the personal side of things and on the business side of things, which was something at the time I really needed because I was navigating this depression and this anxiety, but still trying to be a business owner and put myself in these bold situations, right, where I'm presenting and I'm showing up every week at 7 in the morning to network, you know. So I think having the coach by my side was pivotal. I mean, the first time I was in business, it was 3 years that I did that full time. And I really don't think I could have done it without the support of the coach, even if not even for the work itself, but more for Thomas, what you're talking about, the mental game that it is, right? And finding our strength every day. And even when we fall down, getting back up and trying again, trying something different, and just having that determination that you're going to make it work.
Well, welcome back to the Solopreneur Success Path Show, where we dive into the topics of starting and growing your own online personal brand business. If you'd like to learn more about how you can have a portable online business and make money no matter where you're living, or maybe you just need some help in getting clients, then this podcast is for you. I created my signature coaching program, Solopreneur Success Plan, and you can sign up for that and get on the waiting list at tomclaremont.com/coaching. But now let's get right into this episode. Well, hello and welcome to another episode. Today I have a special guest, Susan Scheer from Scheer Impact. Susan is a business guide with a focus on back office administration. So behind the screen of her business called Go Simple is the driving force, Susan Scheer. Her journey with order and clarity goes back to almost 4 decades with over 35 years of administrative work. Organization and order have consistently underscored her professional career. Susan's passion for creating order from chaos is rooted in the belief that everything has its place. Drawing from her own experience and skills, Susan thrives on structure and believes in the importance of meticulous systems. With an insatiable thirst for learning, she cultivates business clarity effortlessly, bringing order and coherence to your business. Now, being a little bit bold, but yet empathetic, she guides you toward clarity and order in your everyday business endeavors. Now, we often get a little too close to our own story, right? And things get a little blurred out sometimes. But having Susan by your side will give you the peace of mind that you need so that you can drive your business forward. And hey, we all want that, right? So Susan, thanks for being with us today and sharing your story and your journey on how you went from the corporate world to having your own business.
Well, thank you for having me, Thomas. I'm excited to share my story with you and your viewers, and thank you for the really nice introduction.
So help us to understand your timeline with before you made the jump to having your own business. You know, how you were working in different roles in the corporate realm. I mean, you had some time with IBM as an executive assistant for about 4 years. You went on to work for Delta at their corporate office for a little while, and then you went on to working for AMS, a London-based firm, for a couple of years. What were you kind of thinking about before, maybe a year or two before you made the jump And how did you sort of work through that thought process?
Yeah, that's a great question, Thomas. And this story really goes back to 2012. So prior to that year, owning my own business was not really something that I was thinking about doing. It may have been a fleeting thought, but it certainly wasn't anything I was going to put much effort into. That was until I got laid off by Hewlett Packard. Once that happened, I knew immediately I needed to start searching for another job. Again, not thinking about going in business for myself. I've got to just hit the pavement, polish up that resume. I've got to make this work. I had a great job working from home, really happy there. So I went through about 6 months of job search. And 2012 was a tough time to look for a job. It was nothing compared to these past 2 years, but it wasn't happening for me. And I was someone with 35 years of experience working as an executive assistant, as you mentioned, in large companies like IBM, Hewlett Packard, Unilever. So I definitely had the skills and the experience under my belt. And I also had a great network using LinkedIn. Over the years, I had amassed many, many HR contacts, and I just was not able to land a job. So this is when I had a friend say to me, she was a Pampered Chef consultant, and she did home parties, and she was really busy. She was doing it for about 20 years, very popular. And she said, you know, I feel really bad. You can't find work, and you need to have some income. Why don't you work for me very part-time? I can pay you $10 an hour. And you can write my newsletter and we'll come up with some things you can do, but it's only going to be maybe 5 hours a week, $10 an hour. So at the time I was extremely grateful because I'd been looking for work for 6 months. It was only $10 an hour, which was nowhere near my pay rate, but I just needed to keep my mind busy because mentally, you know, depression was setting in, anxiety was setting in. I was very concerned about bringing money home. Now my husband worked full time, but you know, where we lived in New York and the age of our children and the things we needed to do for ourselves, for our goals, depended on two incomes. So it was very important that I bring in some money. So I worked for her for a couple months. And one day she said to me, you still haven't found work yet, I see. What if you had three of me? What if I found you three other people that need a little bit of help, can pay you part-time? Suddenly, that might be a full-time job. And she really set off the light bulb for me. And I thought, you know what? She's 100% right. I can take everything I did in corporate and what I'm doing for her now and translate that from an executive in the C-suite to a solopreneur. They have email to manage. They have calendars to manage. They need typing done and proofreading done and all those things that happen in the back office. So I joined a networking group and I started talking about my business. And back then in 2012, it was called Peace of Mind Assistance. And we started out as a lifestyle company where we were going to be doing event planning. We weren't really going to be doing a lot of the technical work on the computer. It was more going to be event planning, house sitting, things that families could use. And this is kind of the start of where it all happened. And where I got my inspiration to form my own business. Now, here I am 12 years later, the business has completely morphed back into my roots of administrative work. And that's kind of where I sit today, relaunching the business just last year after being laid off for the second time in my career.
So how did you dial it back to, you know, the business back office administration? You said it morphed back to your skills of that.
Right.
How did you sort of, you know, work it one way and then say, you know what? It's time for a little shift here, because I had a shift in my business, right? And I think that's just normal. Okay, but how did you sort of decide, like, what you were doing was okay, but it wasn't really the right fit for you, and you sort of made a little shift?
I love this question because it brings up a really good story I probably wouldn't have told you otherwise, and it's a great piece of information for lots of people to consider. When I first started the business in 2012, I didn't have enough confidence to do it on my own. So I had some depression, some anxiety that I was still struggling with from being laid off and just a historical battle with that. And I thought, gosh, if I'm going to do this business, what if I get depressed? What if I feel anxious and I can't go to a networking meeting or I can't put myself in front of a client on a certain day because I don't feel well? So I decided to partner. So I started that first business with a partner. And that is why I didn't stick to my core skills. And I did something that was more leaning in the middle of the two of us with the networking and the marketing and the lifestyle management so that we could balance, the workload easier. She had no office corporate skills, technical skills. So we really needed to find a middle ground. But I really used her as a safety net, which in hindsight wasn't the best decision for me.
So, what kind of struggles did you have with, making that shift? A lot of us deal with not really external struggles, right? Usually, there's nobody telling us we can't do something, right? Usually, our own struggles get in our own way, right? So, did you go through anything like? And I know you already said some things about, some of the struggles, but, it's a very different world in the online business realm, right? I mean, I started 21 years ago. It's a totally different world nowadays, having an online business. But, how did you sort of deal with maybe some other things about the logistics of having an online business?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that I did really was to join the networking group. And I thought, okay, here's where I can build my confidence. I can learn to speak in front of a group confidently. And I can learn a ton, right? I can learn a ton about all different aspects of business from these people. And then I also hired myself a coach. The coach that I had was a life coach, so she helped me both on the personal side of things and on the business side of things, which was something at the time I really needed because I was navigating this depression and this anxiety, but still trying to be a business owner and put myself in these bold situations, right, where I'm presenting and I'm showing up every week at 7 in the morning to network, So I think having the coach by my side was pivotal. I mean, the first time I was in business, it was 3 years that I did that full time. And I really don't think I could have done it without the support of the coach, even if not even for the work itself, but more for Thomas, what you're talking about, the mental game that it is, right? And finding our strength every day. And even when we fall down, getting back up and trying again, trying something different, and just having that determination that you're going to make it work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, what about the support side of things? Sounds like your husband was okay with this, and sounds like you had support. Am I right, or how was support for you?
That's a great question. My husband was very supportive of it. It was going to be hard on us to go down to, essentially, we were talking about going down to one income because I certainly wasn't expecting to pull an income, maybe the first 6 months to a year. So, we did have some savings. So I was able to fund the business and get started. And I think I was very fortunate in that way. But I do think support is critical. I think if you don't have support at home, that definitely makes the journey a lot harder. And, that's where you would definitely need to have a community, especially online nowadays. There's so many wonderful networking groups to join. So even if people are home alone and maybe their spouse is working all day, maybe their spouse is supportive, but they're not around, you can still have community with an online business, which is a piece that I really enjoy. So today my husband's retired. So he's actually home, watching movies and doing chores and doing all those things. And he's fully supportive. And he helps me. When I get in my own way, he says, why are you getting upset about this or that? You're doing great. Look, just last month you didn't have this accomplished. Now this is where you are. Wow. So, you know, he's like a great cheerleader for me.
Good.
Sometimes I tell him, stay in the other room. I don't need your advice right now. But most of the time it's super helpful and kind of gets me out of my head and, you know, back into reality.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, just a quick reminder here that if you're frustrated or struggling with your online business launch, or if you just hit a wall with sales and you'd like some help with those topics, you can go to tomscalendar.com. It'll flip you right to my online calendar for the time that I donate to help people just like you. That's tomscalendar.com, okay? So let's get right back to the episode. So you said you got your first client with the help of
the Pampered Chef Lady.
The Pampered Chef Lady, right. Now, how do you get clients now in this different realm that you're in?
Yeah, it's very different. I mean, I had that one referral, and that referral ended up being someone who was a client for the 3 years and referred other clients. So I was good. So now when I started last year, again, relaunching the business, it was truly starting over. I dove into networking on LinkedIn, and I've been on LinkedIn since 2007. So I already was very familiar with the platform. I knew the power of the platform, but there's this barrier, right? When you go on there, you've got to get comfortable, you know, putting your voice out and posting content. And then the next level is you've got to get comfortable talking to people, you know, and trying to strike up conversations without being weird and salesy and everything else. And it takes some practice and it takes some time, but I find that my networking group is helpful because we can practice with each other, you know, and learn how to approach people in a way that they don't feel threatened, that you're being of help to them. I have something that can help you, you know, not being pushy and just trying to build genuine relationships.
Yeah, right. So who's your ideal client?
My ideal client is somebody who is running a successful business, but just cannot get to all the larger strategic to-dos that they would like to do because they're bogged down in some of the more minutiae of the work. So a great example is a client I have. She really wanted to start her own podcast, and this had been a goal for her for the past year. And she said, if I could just get these three other things off my plate, I can do the podcast. So once she hired me, I took care of the three other things, freeing up her time. And now just this morning, she launched her first podcast episode.
Good.
So it's just a matter of, you know, having somebody who could take some of the load off your plate. And sometimes it's work you just don't want to do. And sometimes it's work you don't know how to do. And it doesn't matter either way, because it's still helping you move forward with what is your specialty and what you want to spend your time doing.
Right. Oh, for sure. So I have a part-time VA, a part-time virtual assistant. Is that how you want to be categorized, or is this a different level of assistance?
Thank you. I'm glad you brought this up. So this one used to be a hot button for me, but it's not anymore. So there are virtual assistants and there are executive assistants. And the difference is that virtual assistants remotely support clients with basic administration, whereas executive assistants support executives traditionally in a corporate environment with high-level strategy and execution. So it is a different set of skills. So some of the skills are completely identical. You need to know how to manage email. You need to know how to schedule meetings and how to file things appropriately. But then an executive assistant also brings in emotional intelligence. You know, you have a meeting with Joe next week. He sent you a nice referral. We should pay for lunch when you go next week. You know, these little things that build relationships and elevate the person that you're representing, elevating their status out in the world. So I used to call myself, when I first started my business, I called myself an executive assistant. And I really was struggling with it because of the VA conversation. I didn't want to be lumped into that category because I have really strong technical skills and really strong analytical skills. And I thought, you know what? I think I just need to release the old title. It wasn't translating from corporate to solopreneur, which is why I've changed it to business guide, which is much more broad. It allows me to talk about, you know, different topics other than administration, things like what systems to use, what tools to use, how to automate so that, you know, you're not bogged down in your day-to-day grind. I hope that answers that question. That's a complex question. That's like a whole podcast of its own.
Yeah. So why not call yourself a consultant in some
way? That's a good question. And it's something I have considered, consultant or coach. I steered away from coach because I feel like everyone is a coach and I didn't want to be another coach. I wanted to stand out. Consultant, I guess for me, it's a mental block. It brings me back to like 1970s, 1980s, someone who swoops into the corporate environment, tries to fix things, and then you never see them again. So I have that connotation in my mind, and I want to be seen more as a strategic partner.
Yeah.
I'm someone who comes in and has got your right arm.
Yeah. And I can see that because sometimes the image of consultant is somebody that stands on the outside telling you what to do.
Right.
In some ways, right? But you're not that person. You're definitely on the inside.
Right.
You know, being involved in operations in a way.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And it's a combination, right? Because sometimes it's just the telling that needs to be done. Sometimes it's just a meeting with a client to say, these are the five things I need you to work on this week so we can meet our goals. And other times it's, okay, let me take it from you. Let me prepare that presentation. I'll send it back to you. So it's a combination between guiding and doing. And, you know, as I grow, hopefully that balance will shift a little bit more.
Yeah. So I have, you know, quite a background in operations, and that seems to be the one word that sticks out for me on how you're involved with people's businesses, right? You're definitely into the operations part of it.
Yes, very deep into the operations. Like what we talk about, you know, how are you going to bill clients? What software are we going to use? How are we going to create content? Where are we going to store that? You know, how are we going to organize our files? You know, so it's really, a lot of it is building the foundation of some good structure so that everything you put on top of that foundation just makes sense. I mean, and they're basic systems that everyone needs, right? A good email system, a good calendar management system.
So are you looking for multiple clients or are you looking for one big main client?
I prefer to have multiple clients because I have varied interests and I like working for people who do different things because it helps me to learn and to grow. So right now I have a career coach, I have another coach, and then I have a political activist. Right, like completely left field.
Yeah.
So, and I like that because it's left and right brain work for me. Some of the stuff I'm doing for some people is creative and the other stuff is more, you know, kind of just data and order and structure and accountability. Accountability is a big thing for a lot of my clients. Just knowing I'm going to check in with you if you got your to-dos done.
Yeah. And I can relate to that because the diversity of you know, the work that you're doing, because the nonprofit in New York that I do some consulting with now, they're very much into the activism part of it too. So it's like you've really got to shift gears in your head.
Yes.
When you deal with different kinds of businesses or your function changes from one minute to the other, right?
Yeah. It, for me, I like that. It keeps things interesting. And it also, you learn a lot of different industries, a lot of different sectors, and the tools change. You know, someone like my one client who's the activist, you know, there may be a fundraising platform that I research for her to use. Had I not had that client, this is not something I would normally be exposed to because this is a really a niche area.
Yeah.
So I like that unique perspective of things.
Yeah. And what happened for me was as I was working with them, they had a need for live streaming. So I looked into that and develop that as another tool in my tool belt. So I can either do in-person live streaming, or I can do live streaming remotely for them. So I think having the diverse clientele helps us to develop.
Yes.
Also.
Absolutely.
It's not just us telling them what they should do. We're also developing as well.
That's right. That's right. I had last month, I was working with a diversity and inclusion coach, and I learned so much about the different generations and what each generation values and how they act or acted. Very fascinating. You know, it's just things that you're not exposed to day to day. So it, like you said, it's enlightening on our side as well, learning about these new areas.
Susan, where do you see yourself going from here? What's the next step for you?
So right now I'm super enjoying what I'm doing. I love getting my hands dirty. I love setting up systems and tools and processes. So I'm in my bliss right now. I feel like I've got the perfect amount of clients for me that I can handle and still feel like I'm also can spend time on my own business, right? Because that's one of my challenges, to keep my client base low enough that I don't neglect my own work. But I would like, over maybe 3 to 5 years, I'd like to have some digital products that are available. Mm-hmm. A lot of the systems and tools that I teach, something like email management, I could easily put that into a course and offer that either free or for a very nominal fee. And then if I can do that, obviously I can help more people, right, by putting a product out. But I think I would still keep the individual component, because I just really get so much joy and gratitude out of those relationships and the mental stimulation of the work. I can't imagine not having that mental stimulation of the work, just putting everything on autopilot, just put a bunch of courses out, let people buy them, and I retire. That's not really in my plan, at least not right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we certainly want to. Well, you know, there's pros and cons, right? I mean, you know, we all look for passive income, and that's nice to have. But at the same token, you want the other side of the coin of being engaged and actually enjoying, you know, the work and having purpose every day and knowing you're helping people directly every day. So I can certainly see, you know, the need for that as well, right? And so
it feels a lot of needs. That's right.
Yeah, sure. Well, Susan, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Thanks. Well, I am active on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn under Susan Scheer, S-H-I-E-R. You can also find me on my website at www.go-simple.me.com. Was not available, so we got a .me. go-simple.me. There's some information there about me, about my Go Simple method. And there's also, you know, a place where you can say hello, join my email list, and look at some of the packages that I have available for the work I'm currently doing.
Good. Excellent. Well, Susan, thanks for sharing your story with us today and how you sort of work through, you know, going from the corporate realm to being on your own, the struggles that you had, and, you know, how you work through those. And I mean, everybody has this struggles with this transition. Absolutely. Everybody, you know, but if you, with confidence in yourself and your abilities and positive mental perspective, you know, there's a lot that we can work through and overcome, and a lot of good things our way, for sure. You know, we can certainly hope and plan for a good future. We would have that right perspective, right?
Absolutely. And I also think you just stimulated a thought I just wanted to add in here. I think, you know, having the mindset that the first year in your business is going to be a learning and a growing year is probably a smart idea, so that you don't have expectations that you're going to, you know, make a ton of money, because that first year is really so critical to you really feeling that confidence and like you have everything ready. So that's something I would encourage people to think about.
Right, for sure, because the expectation, as you said, of making significant money or even making any money the first year, you know, can be a big letdown. Now, hey, there's some people that hit the ground running and Sure. they do well right away. But a lot of people don't, because there's a learning curve and there's a lifestyle adjustment. There's a skill set adjustment. You know, there's a lot. It's a totally different environment for us, you know, with our own business. So it's a big learning curve, you know, and I think being a solopreneur comes with the stigma of you've got to do everything yourself, but you don't. You don't.
Right.
And that's why people need you, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we hire coaches for ourselves to help us work through some things. So solopreneur doesn't mean you have to do everything yourself.
You definitely do not. And I hire people, you know, I hire for the skills that I don't have. So something like my branding, that was a no-brainer to me. I am not a creative designer. I will hire a creative person. So I think making the investment when you can, with no rush to it either, like one step at a time, don't sink in a lot of money, right? Until you're kind of first year in.
Right. Well, so folks, look Susan up on LinkedIn, Susan Scheer on LinkedIn. Her website is go-simple.me. And look her up on the internet. And if you need a business guide, or if you've been thinking about the need for a business guide, look Susan up. So Susan, thanks again for sharing your story today.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. This was a ton of fun.
Hey, friend, that's all we have for this episode. Thanks for listening. Now, if you're struggling with your new solopreneur business and maybe struggling with sales in 2024, it's probably because things are getting a little too complicated and you might be wasting a lot of time and a lot of money in the process. It's very possible that the solution is just tweaking one or two things that you're already doing. Now, there's no one-size-fits-all solution, right? So let's schedule a time to talk about this and what will work for you. Go to tomscalendar.com and book a time slot for us to connect, okay? So as always, though, stay encouraged, follow your dream, and don't give up.